right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth.
How about this?
Yeah.
So we don't have a little skit at the beginning of the episode here. So instead of that, I think I want to inaugurate a new for a brief while. I don't know how long this tradition will last, but I've had enough of Justin Amash.
Yes.
I've had enough.
Yes.
And so I'm inaugurating on this episode Amash Watch.
Amash Watch.
Anytime that I find a questionable tweet from him, I'm going to read it out to the listeners.
Okay.
And we're going to track his progress and see how he's doing.
Is he going to be the new Molyneux?
Well, I don't think we'll ever get quite I don't think we'll eke an N-word out of him.
God, how amazing would that be, though?
A lot of cringe. So the funny thing is, when we started the original show, we had Todd tweets. You go back in time, you go all the way to the beginning, and Todd Hagopian, one of the best people on the internet, we used to clown on him because his tweets were so normal. You know what I mean? Like, the guy was approaching a really radical subject, but all of his tweets were very normal. And they've since gotten way less normal, which I hope we had an influence in. Like, he's tweeting about how we should have boxing matches with one another, which I really like. But so at the beginning, we had Todd tweets, and that would be something we'd check in on Todd, and Todd would be like the standard libertarian opinion. How's that doing? Well, I think now we're going to do a Mosh Watch. And we're going to check in on the beltways and their further attempts to big tentify the party. So let's kick it off. I got one for you guys. You want to hear this one?
Yeah, give it to me.
Yeah.
So NPR reporting, breaking: President Biden has repealed the Trump era ban on transgender people serving in the military. Mm. Justin Amash responds: this is a win for equality before the law. Transgender persons should not be prohibited from serving the armed forces on the sole basis of being transgender. I know. I have no opinions on qualifications for whether or not you can go and get killed and kill. And that's what stopped me.
It's just
is our first Amash Watch. I can't even say it.
Yeah, we need to come up with a better acronym or a better
Amash Watch.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Yeah, everybody, I'm sure everybody hears that one and they're slapping themselves on the face and going, buddy, how about nobody goes to war?
Right. No, yeah, and this is exactly and here's the thing, though. Here's the thing is that at least Amash is advertising himself as he is, and he's in a previous episode I had referred to him as a snake in the grass, and actually that may in effect be inaccurate, because he really
snake
is
on the pavement.
Just snake on the pavement. Oh, that's a snake.
Yeah, there it is.
Look at that snake right there. Seriously. So, I mean, at least he's going to spare people the agonizing, you know, like 8 months that some people drag you through until you figure out that they're just either a complete idiot or they're, you know, undercover.
How many years have I been dragging you guys?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's at least a genuineness to Justin Amash, right? Like, you can pick it out and go, okay, well, at least you are serious here.
Yeah,
you've also missed the mark.
And the thing with Amash, I think, is that Amash isn't the one pissing me off. It's everybody that's drooling over him that pisses me off.
I know.
That's the thing that pisses me off the most about Amash. But
so
anyway, let's put that. We've got a great episode today. I'm really excited. I was doing pull ups all day, just like waiting for this episode.
Oh, wow.
And we got, dude, I'm fucking jacked right now. So let's compartmentalize. Let's put the Mosh Watch in that box and put that box under the desk, and then we'll
pull it back out when necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. I'm sure
in the bag
that we have, throw it in the bag. And then we'll hop in the bag with it on occasion here going forward. I'm sure we'll have one.
I'm still a little stopped about you doing pull-ups before we start anything.
Oh,
what's going on? Yeah. You're doing pull-ups?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those?
Yeah.
Just for what? Because you're so pumped about this show?
Yeah, two reasons. That, and then Aaron's been kind of edging in on both my crack rations and my mattress space.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how we have the mattress divided up for the three of the
three way one twin size mattress between three people.
And Aaron
it's
is
our crack rations
Aaron,
and our mattress.
And Aaron is as you know, Aaron is physically slightly bigger than me, so I'm trying.
Yeah, and it's great being a manlet. I have to say, for the first time ever, I'm proud to be a manlet because I get my own third of the mattress and I can comfortably.
And
it's great.
And you stay low, it's when you come at my space, it's very difficult to defend against. It's just below. It's like a low, like muscle coming at me. I can't out edge it. So,
sure.
Yeah. So I'm feeling great, man. I'm feeling really good. Well, getting juiced. Probably looking into some steroids. Got to talk to Jacob about getting some more steroids. From
cursing in fucking German the entire time.
Exactly. Exactly. Return to tradition.
Return to tradition. Yeah. All right. Well, let's return to tradition then. Card, take us through. I see you've been very vigorous on the old bulletin board up there. By the
yes,
way, you've been
very
doing
vigorous,
a great job.
Quite vigorous. Yeah.
Let's pull one of those little stickies down.
Okay. Well, before we do that, I do want to say, despite my recent problems with Aaron and his transgressions in both the bedroom and near the crack pipe, I would like to issue an official congratulations to you, Aaron. That was an excellent first show.
Yes, it was. Yes, it loved
it twice. I've listened to
it
twice.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I loved your guests.
Special. Not special.
Not special. Not
special. This good. Is what we do.
Well, listen.
Doing what's expected of me shouldn't be applauded.
As one third of the second portion of that episode, I'll say it was great. It was very good.
Yeah, I mean, I literally went into it with no show notes, completely blind.
Did you do the first part with no show notes in the first part?
None.
Wow.
Carr, he texted me at like 1 a.m. one day, and he was like, would you and Paz be willing to come on the show? And I was
he's just
like,
exhausted
yeah,
and
sure.
crying,
yeah,
so frustrated.
He messaged me and he was like, guys, there's no way that I can do this on my own. It took me like hours.
For every 10 minutes of like me talking that you hear, it takes like an hour to edit.
Yeah.
I've been out of the public speaking game for so long now that I lost my groove.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of type of shit.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. I don't have the faculties to do it anymore. And
the
I used
faculties.
To be able to I used to take a 3-bullet PowerPoint and draw that out into 2 hours, no problem. And
sure
entertain in
that.
An entertaining fashion that kept people's attention. It was funny. And now I lost that talent. Now I'm an engineer.
You gotta get it back. You gotta hate our listeners as much as you hated your students.
Yeah, as much as I hate myself.
Yeah, well that of course. Yeah, absolutely.
If I could project that self-hatred onto everyone around me, I'll succeed.
Well, you're not that far off.
Yeah, you're getting there, buddy. Keep going. You're getting there.
Yep.
Then so this Friday, I'm equally as excited, maybe even more excited. I alluded to that on the timeline that excited for Paz to come out with his solo show.
Yes.
The Scarlet Threat Society. So I'm super pumped for that. I'm so pumped about our solo shows because it's fun as hell to listen to, you know, Bird, you and I have podcast. I mean, we've been doing this for damn near 3 years, which is crazy.
6 years,
about.
Right? Yeah. 12 years. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah. 12 years. Yeah. Yeah. 2 years and then 12 years last year.
Yeah. 2 years on a podcast and 12 years on local radio that people don't know about. Well, maybe we'll pull up those archives.
It's
one
like
day.
An Art Bell type situation.
Oh, man.
Nobody can find the archives of the early coast
it just
to coast.
Occurred to me. Like, the role of you guys' shows are, like, if you actually want to learn something. The role of my show is just to get pumped up to, like, commit terrorism.
Yeah.
That's
what's
it. Positive. You don't learn.
And then
I didn't teach you anything.
Pause's show is to direct the terrorism into its correct algebraic That's coordinates.
Right. That's right.
No, so I guarantee you his show is going to be, like, just, I don't know, a punch in the brain.
Yes. Oh,
punch
God,
in the brain?
Mm-hmm.
So the three show. So I'm thinking. So the way that we're going to direct our listeners is, I come up the first week. I get it a little weird. I destabilize you a little bit. You're looking around, going, I don't really know what's going on with life anymore. Carr comes in and he goes, all right, here's some life tips that you can use. So everybody gets a little bit more stabilized. And then Aaron, you come in and you just go, you ever think about blowing up a building? And everyone's like, you know what? Maybe I have. Maybe I have thought about doing that. And then
Paz comes in and is like, you know who has blown up buildings?
you know which buildings you need to be blowing up. Yeah, all right, good.
Yeah.
This is praxis.
It's something.
This is praxis.
Hey, by the way, speaking of blowing up buildings, did you guys know that we got, I think we had two episodes pulled from Stitcher?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Which ones?
Well, I think so. I don't know. So first of all, somebody DM'd me, or maybe tweeted at me saying, hey, are you guys not publishing to Stitcher anymore? But we don't publish to Stitcher. We just publish to Podbean, and then Podbean. You know, sure. Takes care of pretty much everything else. So, and then I was having Jared from Peaceful Treason was in town. So I was having breakfast with him the other day, and he said he uses Stitcher and he didn't have the last two episodes. So I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that, but I think that has more to do with the fact that Stitch is just Stitch is just a stupid website anyway. Don't use it, please.
Okay.
I
was going to offer a fake apology.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't.
Sorry.
Wow,
that's a soundbite.
Moving right along.
That's a soundbite. All right, so to me, Stitcher is a piece of garbage website that you really shouldn't engage with.
And well, now we're gonna get kicked off of Stitcher.
Please do. That's fine. Don't use it. Use anything Stitcher. Else. Use Spotify because you can get all your music and podcasts in the exact same place, and they automatically update the album art, which is what you want because we all have cool album art, and it'll automatically tell you what episode is what when you're looking at it on the timeline.
I'm now nervously sweating because I remembered it started with an S, and now I'm wondering if it was actually Spotify and not Stitcher.
No, I don't. Well, Spotify is pulling somebody's episodes. I don't know if he wants to make it a public thing. Okay, but Spotify is pulling people's episodes.
Okay, that's what I was remembering then. Yeah, I think ours is Stitcher. Yeah,
once again, sorry.
Yeah, okay. It is what it is. We'll find. Listen, you listeners, we publish every week. If you don't have your thing in by a day after publishing date, something's going on with them, not with us. And I'm also not convinced for the most part that a podcast that, you know, we're not a small podcast, but we ain't that big either. A podcast like ours is being heavily monitored to the point where it's being, you know what I mean, being deleted for shit. Like, what do they do? Like, somebody suggested it was an algorithm where they read our speech patterns. But like, dude, if you've ever gone on, you know, YouTube's friggin' auto captioning thing.
Have you ever been on the YouTube?
It's insanely stupid. It's terrible, terrible system.
I'm pretty sure Aaron was bringing that up in his solo episode, and you refuted him there too.
Yeah,
I'm just double moosing him on his show and here.
But that's what I'm saying is I don't think there's a conspiracy here. I think it's just a matter of Stitcher sucks.
Real quick, let me tell you.
Well, we'll figure out if it's a conspiracy on Friday. We'll see.
Yeah, but you haven't said any, at least that an algorithm would have been able to pick up because I block them all, so it doesn't. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. So
I know, like before we started recording this, you were saying like, I was going to say like he who controls post editing controls history. Cause I moosed you hard, but nobody will ever know.
No,
no one will ever know.
It's a ghost.
You've moosed me on various occasions and I've ghosted
bark,
all of your mooses. Every single
bark.
One of them.
Blocking the moose.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Golly.
Let's get canceled, though. Let's move right along and see if you know what? Let's test it this time. Cancel's
the moderate position.
Mm. Oh, is that
I wanna
it?
I want to get raided.
Mm. Raided? You're on the way. You're on the way for that. But here's what I'm thinking. Let's steam forward, continue doing the episode, do a normal episode, no Fed posting, and let's see if they cancel us, you know? Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, Aaron's not cool with that.
For the sake of science, Aaron, my God, control yourself.
Right. Where do we want to start?
Yeah, a control study.
Where do we want to start, Bird?
Exactly. Where do we want to start?
I put a couple of sticky notes up on the bulletin board, and...
There's two places we could start, but I'll say this. Since we are in the Bronx, let us begin by talking about the fact that after raiding the public coffers and destroying millions of people's livelihoods, Andrew Cuomo has finally decided it's time to reopen because there's no more money in the coffers and a bunch of people's livelihoods are destroyed. So that'll be good for you, Carr. You can finally get that grocery store job that you've been looking at. It'll finally be reopening. Bagging. And so what do you think about that? Isn't it fantastic?
Saint Cuomo. I think you
Saint Cuomo. Yeah.
Saint Cuomo. Absolutely. Opening the businesses again. It's great. It's great news.
It's kind of funny to see the timing, of course.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Very interesting timing. It doesn't coincide with anything. Yeah. Isn't that a funny thing? Like we
no. But yeah, go ahead.
You're right. Actually, it's
not
it's
fucking
a
funny
horrible
at all, but
thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it really is. It's evil.
But it's like,
right?
It looks like
evil.
It looks like there's this struggle. And I think this is the struggle that I was talking about earlier back in March or April, where I was like, dude, this is going to put a tremendous amount of stress between the states and the federal government. And now that they have their candidate in or whatever, the states, I think these individual states are like kind of throwing up their hands and they're like, hey, we wink, wink, nod, nod. We did what you wanted us to do. We've got to get out of this because we're not going to have any more money. And so in a sense, even though I don't know that the plan was ever, hey, COVID until Biden gets elected, in a sense, in effect, maybe that's what it is for a completely different reason, just because the states are like, dude, we're going to be broke as shit, in a not too distant future. And so we got to get the hell out of this.
The only conversation that was had about opening up began after it was assured that Biden had won.
Exactly.
That was it. So I don't. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact. If you want to make it into a conspiracy theory by picking out why the motivations behind why that happened, that's fine. Yeah. The fact is that's what happened, and so
absolutely,
you kind of have to look at it. Yeah. All these intelligent people in the finance and in the treasury, all these people must have some semblance of, oh wow, that's at least convenient, isn't it? This guy's going to be, you know, Biden is going to be funneling shitloads of cash into blue states the way that, you know, Trump did, well, really Mitch McConnell did to all the red states while this was happening initially. So, I mean, that's just what's going to happen one way or another. So I'll be happy to get another unemployment check, my friends.
Sure.
Very happy.
Yeah, if you're going to make it a conspiracy theory, try not to sound like a fucking bitch-ass, like, impotent signaling cuck.
There you have it.
Yes, that's right.
There you
have it. Try and make it a real conspiracy theory.
Oh, now that Biden's in charge, now everything's opening up. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know what you want me to take away from that. I already know that they like to wield power.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's going to have to be an attempt to recover these states that have just
There's
got to
be, but there's still marked disjointed efforts going on, because the part of, like, a core of the federal government, it wants nothing to do with the talk of opening up. Like, Biden recently shut down travel from like 25 different countries because of that.
Oh, did he?
COVID oh yeah, dude. Yeah, it came out yesterday.
Oh,
he reinstituted.
So it's a Muslim ban, except
exactly,
it's just not a
called
that.
Exactly. Right. It, which is pretty funny. Yeah, it's like all of Europe, South, or maybe not all of Europe, but pretty much all of Europe. I think all, like, the Schengen countries, the South Africa, Australia, and it may actually not be the Middle East, because that's not where they're detecting the that new COVID strains, quote unquote. If they
Is that what it's for? The new COVID,
COVID. But regardless, it's functionally the same thing. They're full steam ahead on this lockdown. I think that the big health, or whatever you want to call them, don't seem to be giving up anytime soon either. It's interesting to note where the pressure to open up is coming from. It's actually not that interesting. It's pretty obvious. It's the people that are going to directly suffer the consequences of businesses being closed down permanently in their state. 100%. And that's the people that are looting those businesses directly for their welfare, which is, you know, the state governments. So anyway, I don't know. Keep an eye on that. Looks like there's going to be some tension between federal governments and state governments there, I would imagine.
Weird, man. It's very uncomfortable to me, because you kind of, I don't know, it's just very convenient. I don't know. It's just very, very all convenient that we're starting to reopen at this time. Convenient. That's all I can say.
Yes.
Because it certainly is.
Well, speaking of convenience, there's a new way to make sure that everything that you tweet, Bird, is reliable information.
Oh
no.
Go on.
Oh, wow. First of all, great segue. Second of all, I was flipping out about this, like, in my personal time. So yeah, why don't you tell us what these new measures are, Aaron?
Well, it's a new feature called Birdwatch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a feature added to Twitter that will allow you to make personalized notes to flag anything that might be disinformation and elaborate as to why it might be misinformation. Also, how dangerous this misinformation might be, and the exact classification of misinformation that it is.
Of course.
You know, is it a parody that people might think is true?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, a manipulation of facts or data?
Yeah.
I'm glad that we finally have. I'm glad that we finally have the power to crack down on Bird. I mean, blue checks, of course, is blue checks.
Meant, of course.
When I said that.
Right.
This is going to be a new era of fun on the website.
This isn't all bad, because I'll tell you what. The amount of neuroatypical individuals who show up on my threads and don't understand that 99% of what I say is either satire or just straight up lying. it's actually a good thing that now there is just an actual flag system that can I can report my own tweets so that underneath them it says, this is actually satire. Please don't ruin the comment section. Thank
you. That's an interesting way to look at it.
You know what I mean?
I think this is a dawn of a new age for you.
Yes.
Mr. Birdo.
I'm hoping so. I think it's a good thing. I think it could be a really good thing. And I'll tell you what, I am certainly going to be utilizing it. I'm on my podcast. I was even thinking every time my podcast comes up, maybe at the end of the show, I'll target one specific tweet from some blue check somewhere and tell every one of the listeners to go and report it with a very specific message. And we'll see if we can leverage our own power.
That's a good idea. Leveraging the internet.
I've been wanting
autism.
To like leverage our power into a brigading system.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I'm thinking just for a little while. I don't want to do it all the time because then they'll target me. I want to see if it works. Well, you can do it all the time.
We can find a middle ground here. We can
happy medium.
This. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. Using just what you know, it's just weaponized autism. It's nothing.
Well, here's the thing. I it's a new system that was implemented, and I am absolutely committed to only preserving the truth and parity. There should be no lies on the internet ever, because that's just not right. In a society like the one that we live in, we are responsible for making sure that everybody's in check, including all the people who would be utilizing their own power to do the same thing to us. So,
yes.
I'm just saying, I think we could keep the playing field very leveled by doing the right thing and making sure everybody's telling the truth or paradising. That's it.
That's assuming that blue checks won't have some type of
protection
immunity. Yeah.
There's plenty of people who don't have that blue check behind them that are very influential on the website. That's true. I could just tell you that.
That's true.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. we can, and I mean, we can always take it for a spin on the non-blue checks for a while, and then we can figure out, you know, ways around
it. We'll find some unlucky individual who we target,
yes.
And we decide this person, who is a disinformation agent, in fact, I can think of one right now, his name rhymes with Barchibald Nowers. We can target that person and we can report every one of their tweets as false information if they are indeed containing false information, which many of them do. And perhaps we can level the playing field, because I think one thing that libertarian circlers, orbiters, anarchist orbiters, one thing that we don't really do very well is coordinate, you know, this new form of information checking, which other people have utilized against us for a very long time. And so all I'm saying is, We should use the tools that the beautiful company known as Twitter has afforded to us. I think would be a great thing.
False. IQ is a representation of
ability. False. Bird is actually 5'5".
Oh man, yeah, we could have a whole lot of fun with this, and we can coordinate stuff. I bet that would be.
We definitely can, but of course, again, I would only ever do such a thing in a situation where I genuinely felt that the information that was being presented was false.
Of course, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, I think I do. Yes,
very good.
I just want a brigade like 10 follower fucking autism.
Oh man, that would be just to so test it. Fun. Yep. Yeah, we can take it. Cool. Yeah, we can come up with a whole action plan. Oh yeah, this is gonna be great.
We could do it. Yeah, but again. Only in situations where genuine false information is being presented.
Very genuine.
Right? We wouldn't be taking advantage of the tool for the wrong reasons.
Zero
we would be
exactly.
utilizing the tool in appropriate means to do exactly what Twitter wants us to do, which is to make sure that any sort of false information, say perhaps claiming that someone like Dave Smith was at one time saying, you know, he was sort of denying the fact that people at Yale were telling the truth about, you know what I mean? Like perhaps one account that rhymes with rope fat, perhaps someone like that who tweets false information about someone who we like Dave Smith, you know, we might be able to put a thing underneath of that account claiming, you know what, I think you've misrepresented him. So I'm just saying.
We're going to create a healthier
environment.
This would
be a very good system.
Yes.
Very healthy.
It'll create a healthier environment, and we'll be utilizing 100%. The leverage of many, many potentially autistic and non-autistic
people. And the best part is if people get like exposure fatigue from this, from seeing it on every tweet.
Oh, yes.
Then we won against Twitter.
Yes. We did. I'll tell you an even better thing than that, Aaron. So should this system be turned against us, it's not like we have a separate website where all of our other tweets could possibly be stored where they can't take us down at all. Something like, you know, maybe we'd call it a boys.town or something like that. You know, there's no, you know, it's not like we have a separate parallel website totally untouchable to Twitter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't either.
I've never heard of such a
thing. But if it did exist, I wouldn't tell you to go and investigate a website like that.
No.
Speaking of speaking of leveraging thousands and thousands of autistic people, did you guys see the GameStop thing?
No, I did not see the GameStop thing.
Another excellent segue.
Wow, look at this. We are so professional today. Well, I actually didn't hear anything about this, so why don't Carl?
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
As a video game player, I'm quite interested.
Yeah, yeah. So my understanding of this was basically, I guess there was a subreddit. It was a gaming subreddit, I think. And they caught wind that there were going to be a bunch of traders that were shorting GameStop. And I'm not really sure why, if it was financial or if it was because they were purposely trying to, I don't know if it was like related to Gamergate or something like that. I don't think so. I think it was just, I'm sure it was like some financial website came out and said, hey, GameStop's looking really weak. Like, get out there and you know, try and make some money shorting it.
Yeah.
Well, if you know anything about leverage trading, if you get trapped underwater on a short, it can potentially trigger what would be called in this instance a long squeeze, or a short squeeze.
Wait a minute, hold on with your squeezes and your under the waters.
You getting orange?
You got to use different terminology for me.
you just sound like a length.
So hold on. So you hold GameStop's head under the water and you give it a squeeze. What's happening? Okay.
So what happened was, a financial website came out and said it would be a good idea to go short this stock. I guess a gaming subreddit caught wind. And now with the software and the tools available to the common man, like Robinhood and stuff like that, everybody and their mother has the ability to hop on and buy a stock or sell a stock or trade. And I guess they coordinated this massive pump of GameStop in the Reddit. And so everybody went out at coordinated times, it looks like, based on what I read, and started buying up this shorted stock. Well, what happens when you start to buy the stock up and people are short? It will force them to have to buy the stock to cover their short position if they get too far underwater. And so then when it forces one person to have to do that, well, they provide buying pressure to raise the stock, and then that cascades into the next guy, and that cascades into the next guy, and so on and so forth. So the stock was up like 150% in like an hour today or yesterday. Dude, the chart bananas. I mean, it looks like Bitcoin shit or like crypto shit.
So you're telling me GameStop is doing better than ever?
Well, it crashed back down pretty much after that.
But they basically
just fleeced. They coordinated essentially like an insider trading deal, and they fleeced a bunch of professional traders for God knows how much money in the course of an hour, which is hilarious.
Nice.
That a bunch of like, you know, gamers online.
It was like $1.1 billion that was like by professional
crazy
traders.
Wow.
Just funneled to like average Joes, which is,
Hell yeah.
You know? Hey, and thing. They probably did it on Robinhood. And isn't that what Robinhood did, right? Steal from rich or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, indeed. Indeed. That beautiful
poetic
thing.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was worth mentioning.
Come at the internet autists, you best not miss.
Exactly, man. And that's what we're going to do with those tweet reporting. Whatever.
Oh yeah, Bird Watch. Birds. Really, the segment on my show is now going to be called Birds Watch.
Bird Watch.
Squaw! Go and report this guy! I'll get him, I'm telling you. You know, I've always wanted to be a police officer. This is how it begins.
I just had a fucking brilliant idea.
Oh yeah?
I'm thinking after.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh, it's one of those.
Okay. Yeah. an outside of the whistles kind of idea. After
Seems
the clock.
Like Bert will just edit it out anyways, because I'm about to drop a lot of
oh, wow. Beep, 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 beep. Close it off. All right, now it's time for me to take, let me apprehend the show here.
Okay.
My favorite guy, probably on the planet, Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Speaking of being underwater, he's back, baby. He's back. Let me read to you a little article I pulled from the date of recording, whatever date that might be. Election technology company Dominion, this is from CNN Politics, sues Giuliani for $1.3 billion over the big lie about election fraud. Let me just read the first few lines here. Thank you to Caitlin Palance for your service to a reputable company like CNN. an election technology company that has been the focus of consistent conspiracy theories by Donald Trump and his allies, has sued the former president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, for defamation after he pushed the big lie about election fraud on his podcast. Oh, weird. And TV appearances. Dominion Voting Systems is seeking more than $1.3 billion in damages. Quote, just as Giuliani and his allies intended, the big lie went viral on social media as people tweeted, retweeted, and raged that Dominion had stolen their votes. While some lies, little lies, flare up on social media and die with the next news cycle, the big lie was different, lawyers from Dominion wrote in the lawsuit filed in D.C. District Court on Monday. The harm to Dominion's business, that's a quote, and the reputation is unprecedented and irreparable because of how fervently millions of people believe it. The lawsuit notes that while Giuliani spread falsehoods about Dominion being owned by a Venezuelan communist and corrupting the election, he did not make those claims in lawsuits he pushed on behalf of Trump. And so therefore, Rudy comes back and he says, Dominion's defamation lawsuit for $1.3 billion will allow me to investigate their history, finances, and practices fully and completely, he told CNN on Monday. Mm-hmm. The amount being asked for is quite obviously intended to frighten people of faint heart. It is yet another intimidation by the hate-filled left wing to wipe out and censor the exercise of free speech as well as the ability of lawyers to defend their clients vigorously. That's my Giuliani impression. So what we have here is a situation where Rudy gets sued, and Rudy comes back and he says, you know what, motherfuckers? If you're suing me, that means I get to do discovery on your shit, and I'm going to look through absolutely everything, which is what Rudy does best, to be honest.
Yeah, I know.
He is a great shit shoveler, Rudy, mm-hmm. and he's also really great at eating shit shoveled in his direction.
Yes, it's true. It's true. You guys are super resilient. I was thinking more along, like, first of all, this could be really interesting. It could be completely nothing,
oh, yeah.
you know, going forward, but it could get really interesting. So right. that'll be fun to keep an eye on. But
Rudy, before you do part two, didn't Rudy say that he had a laptop full of child pedophilia or something like pedophilic documents and pictures from Hunter Biden? Didn't he say that? Where is that?
I don't know. Yeah. There's so much stuff that just gets lost in the melee. I don't know. Maybe he did. It could be. I don't get the feeling that Hunter Biden is like a pedophile. I think he's just I don't know.
I get the feeling Hunter Biden is one of those guys. If he had a Twitter account, I may or may not be checking in on him to make sure all of his reporting is genuine. If you know what I mean.
Maybe the bird.
Go, go, go. Yeah. Go, Hunter. Hunter, you next. I sent an email to him. I sent an email to him. I'll play that for you. Maybe I'll play that for you in a few minutes here. But okay. Sure. But yeah, your second point.
My second point was more just the soft, like the qualitative analysis of Giuliani's appeal and the appeal that he has had to certain segments of the population. And just watching that play out has got to be really fascinating. Like, for example, mom's side of my family is all from Jersey and New York. And so if you ask anybody, and Bert, you can probably attest to this, like what the first sentence that comes out when somebody brings up Giuliani to anybody from New York, everybody's like, "Well, cleaned up the city." You know, I mean, everybody says that.
Yeah,
and he becomes
killed
like
all the
this
homeless people.
Yeah, basically, they will accept no argument to the contrary. Not that I care to make it, because I just frankly don't care in general. But he is this weird, like almost conservative hero. For a lot of that, and now he's basically like turned again. I don't know. The whole thing with him, it's just going to be interesting to watch how Red Team Inc. Grapples with Giuliani and his repeated kind of just fuckery with the system, because you know what he's doing is not really law and order, you know.
No, not at all.
It's bullying, kind of, in a weird way.
He seems to be one of those cases where it's a guy with enough money, legal experience, and a very strong team of other legalese who he can just kind of say whatever he wants, and then he will, because he's old, he'll basically just tie people up in court until he dies. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Which is kind of admirable, frankly. It's probably the most admirable thing he's ever done.
Oh, dude, he's done nothing but skyrocket in my book over the last year, because he's just a gigantic troll. I mean, it's way better than killing homeless people. So
yeah, without a doubt, 100%.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Great stuff. May I plug myself for a second here?
Sure.
I was planning on one of my episodes of Into the Cave. I got it set for 3 episodes from now because I need to read this book. But I got a book.
So three months from now, not 1 month from now, as it would be for me.
Two. All right, everybody. Everybody go and report Carr for this tweet. All right. Yeah, so there's this guy, Alan Weberman, right? I think I was telling you guys about him.
Dude, sometimes I think you just make up names. And like almost everybody that you bring up like has some stupid
safe
name.
Word. Safe
like
word.
First
safe
name
word.
Or last
name. Yeah. No. Alan all right. Safe Weberman. Word. Safe word. Okay. Alan J. Weberman is his full name. So this gentleman is a yippie. This guy, Alan J. Weberman, known in part for writing 2 books. I'll read the first one to you because I'm not sure whether or not I want to cover it. I may do it at a later date. Ron Paul, America's Most Dangerous Nazi, is a book that Alan J. Weberman nice. Wrote. Great title. Yeah. I might cover that one day, but I am going to cover a book that this man wrote, and it's called Homo Thug, The Secret Life of Rudy Giuliani by Alan J. Weberman. This is a book that Giuliani had censored in New York. And in fact, he writes at the very beginning of the book, on February 12th, 2009, I received this email. Dear Mr. Weberman, thank you for your interest in Book Surge. While we appreciate your business, we are contacting you today as we will be unable to continue the production of Homo Thug moving forward. The book has been removed from an available status through Book Surge as well as from your account. Please note that we are also refunding you the $200 that was paid for the submission. Thank you once again for your interest in the company. So he basically, what happened was the lawyer for Giuliani, whose last name is Bracewell, launched a massive lawsuit against Amazon, and Amazon basically agreed to drop the book. Some reviews for this book, Homo Thug, call it a shocking new book and a rude awakening for Rudy Giuliani, with some new audacious claims, including that he was bisexual, that his lover was a defrocked Catholic cleric, and that he was a child rapist. These are just some of the things that the book alleges, that he did all of those things, that he was involved in all those things. So I'm going to be presenting this book at some point in the near future, because I think you'd all know that I hate Rudy Giuliani, right? Everybody knows this. Everybody's well aware of this. Well, I think it might be time to present the book in any fashion that I would, like on Such as Pete's podcast or something like that. You know, just present the findings of the book. And of course say, you know, none of this has been proven. This is just simply things that Alan J. Weberman alleges. And maybe we can dig into some of the claims against Rudy so that we can really clear the air, perhaps, as to some reasons why people don't like Rudy.
I think this is a fantastic idea, Bird. And in fact, indeed. I think that this would be a great opportunity for you to name a sub show of your solo show, Birdwatch.
Mm-hmm. Birdwatch. Great. We'll call it Birdwatch. I do. I like it a lot.
Great.
I think, you know, I'm not a guy who likes censorship, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, if you're defaming somebody.
Says the guy editing out half of Aaron's content every single week.
Hate censorship.
But click, click.
I'm just saying I think we need to bring, by the way, this book, if anyone was curious, 400 pages. So there's a lot there. I'm going to be really digging into it over the course of a few episodes. And I'd like to, you know, dispel some of the false notions against Rudy. And also, you know, I really am one of the people who fully believes, you know, if you bring ideas into the light, you know, light sanitizes things, right?
Disinfectant,
right? So there you go. So we'll dig into Rudy, what Rudy does, and all that stuff so that we can fully give an explanation as to why this New York folk hero perhaps isn't quite the folk hero that people say he is, or it's all just alleged nonsense that defames him. And of course, I'll be very sure to consistently remind people that this is, noted.
Just
absolutely.
Continually note that.
I look forward to it. Enough with the Giuliani stuff. Carr, I totally forgot something, and this is why I should not be allowed to handle the finances and stuff. We have a corporate donor. You remember GFY Industries, Carr?
Sure do.
Yeah, well, we have a couple of advertisements from them that they sent us over.
Oh, really?
We're selling out, Carr.
Okay, that's fine. That means money, right?
My former employer.
Yeah, yeah. We're selling out to them. Listen, they might have brought the union in, but at the same time, if they're willing to give us the money, then, you know, they will do what they would do. So let's check out this advertisement and let's clean my tongue of the Rudy Giuliani stuff and we'll move into something new and fresh and fantastic. Here's GFY Industries.
Do you enjoy getting fucked? Well, then you're in the wrong place. GFY Inc. holds a 100% pure self-service policy. You should really just go fuck yourself. Use promo code GFYINC at GFY.com to get absolutely fuck all. For an extra $50, they will tell you to get fucked. Or just find a Dutchman on Twitter who will tell you to go fuck yourself in Dutch for half the price. We don't care. Fuck you.
Great sponsorship.
Huh. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah.
That's a product I know and love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've used it many times before.
Many times.
Go fuck yourself, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
Hey, Aaron, why don't you go pull off another story from that board over there, something that interests you.
Something that interests me? Ooh.
Something that interests all of us.
Oh.
Well, that's right, yeah.
I mean, I guess we could talk about the impeachment.
Oh, ooh. Boy. Yeah, let's talk about the impeachment.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. listen, let's get it out of the way, right? People come to this show to learn things, Carr.
Yeah.
Come to the show to learn things. I don't know why.
That's why they come here.
All right. Well, as far as impeachment goes, they passed it in the House. He's been impeached. Our boy.
Yep.
John Donald Trump.
As I said on the paper.
Been impeached for a second time. Fantastic
and then,
stuff.
And then they, so just to run this back, because I'm not super familiar with the process, they impeach him in the House, right? And then they take their cute little papers and they pick them up with their cute little hands and they do the cute walk over to the Senate chambers.
There's an official person, Carr, who's designated as the bag man.
Okay.
And the bag man runs from the downstairs area to the upstairs area, and CNN felt the need to report that to us.
Yeah.
So the bag has reached the bag is in the building.
The bag is in the building, baby.
The bag is
Science
in the house.
Bag, baby.
They lay out the bag. They all get into it.
Everybody gets in the bag.
That's how they impeach the president, actually.
There's a lot of gravitas in that process.
Yeah.
They rip up two pieces of paper. One says yes and one says no. They throw it in the bag, and then you root around, and the first person to come out with a piece of paper
just and sweating.
And you say yes or no.
Very serious process.
So they pull that bag out. The bag man opens the bag, and inside of the bag, I assume Nancy Pelosi and Mitch. Wait, no. Who the fuck is in the Senate? Chuck Schumer and good Lord, who the fuck is the Republican in the Senate? Republican Senate. Good Lord.
Rand Paul, Thomas Massey.
No, I meant like who's the Senate Majority Leader? And it it's Mitch. It's Mitch.
Oh yeah, fucking Mitch crawls out of the bag with a little piece of paper that says.
So Cocaine Mitch gets the bag. He opens up the bag with Chuck Schumer.
When sweaty Mitch crawls out of that bag, what is it going to say, Bird? Yes or no?
Oh, you're at. Oh, I think it's going to say yes.
Okay.
I think they're going to remove John Donald Trump from the
from the office of the presidency that he no longer occupies.
He's already been removed from it. Correct. That's
did you
correct.
Guys see?
Yes.
Did you guys see him setting up the office of the previous president, or whatever? Did you see this?
No. What do you mean?
I saw it on like BRO breaking news or whatever that Twitter account is.
Uh-huh.
He has officially set up the office of the previous president or something like that in Florida for all
no
of his
fucking
new
way.
Dude. Yeah,
what?
I'm serious. Yeah. Hold on. Here, let me see if I can find something about it.
Of the previous president?
Something like that.
Is that what you just told me?
Yeah, something. Hold on.
Yes! What? Office? Yeah. No way. Yeah, what the hell?
Dude,
Trump opened
go.
An office of the former president. Former president is what it is. From yes. Pump.
Yes, dude. Dude, I'm
telling
you.
So what does it say?
You.
Does it say the former and removed?
Yeah, well, they'll have to update it based on what cocaine Mitch crawls out of that bag with.
Impeached president.
Wow, this is amazing. Yeah. And so what do you think is going to happen now? He's gonna. Let's get a news bulletin and he goes, they didn't send me the bag. I'm a little pissed off. They never sent me the bag.
I was
How
never
am
in
I
the
supposed
bag.
To know what the bag says?
Mitch said Jesus. I used to be in the bag. I was never in the bag.
I was not in the bag. I didn't go in the bag once. Not one time.
Not single one. Not one single time. Yeah,
that's
so,
incredible.
I know. So it serves
what
as like
does
some
this
sort of-
even mean? Listen to this. The office said it would, quote, carry on the agenda of the Trump administration.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. No, this is literally from what I read, and who knows what the hell's going to happen, but
this
from
is
what
deranged.
I read, this is everything that we had hoped for or that we had talked about prior to
Absolutely.
The actual.
It's a parallel fucking Trump government.
It's a parallel presidency, sort of.
This is deranged. It's completely
amazing.
Deranged.
It's, is yes. it deranged or is it 4D chess and do you need to trust the plan?
Yeah.
Get in the former bag.
Get
come
in
here.
Bag.
Come on.
Come on.
I have my own bag.
Get in here with me.
And frankly, it's a lot bigger and sweatier than yours.
A parallel bag. A parallel bag.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Wow. No, so this is amazing. This is really good stuff. I'm pretty pleased.
Oh,
with
that's
that.
Fucking nuts. I cannot.
That might be the launching point of the. So one way that Republican or one reason that Republicans wouldn't support his impeachment is because he's threatening to start this whole Patriot Party thing, which is basically going to be a pipeline from pissed off right wing populists in the Republican Party to leave that and go to this explicitly right wing populist party.
So, like, you did you do any reading on it or anything like that? Because I have avoided the Patriot Party thing, but is it really like a political party?
That's
like
what they're going to try to do it.
Dude, that would so basically the Amash scenario would happen then, right? Because there would be the Republican Party would break because there would be a bunch of patriots who would join the Patriot Party, and then the Republican Party's a lame duck that never wins, so people might funnel into the. This could be really nuts.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He,
oh yeah,
he
dude.
Could be clearing the wrong swamp.
It would be more like if the Mises Caucus said, "You know what? Fuck you. We're gonna make our own like provisional
party.
Libertarian army."
The former Libertarian Army.
Yeah.
So I do feel as though, you know, in that 1993 classic, The Perfect Storm, the data sheet is printing off the fax machine on our boat, and we're looking at low pressure systems in various places that are on a collision course for each other at some point in the near future here. And I couldn't be more excited about
and
it.
And you're just hanging out in Texas watching, like, the Northeast just get annihilated.
Just get annihilated.
So let's take a note from Trump's, oh man, I almost sounded like a libtard for a second. I'm going to say it anyway. Let's take a note from Trump's friend, Vladimir Putin, right? Mm-hmm. The way Putin works is he's stepping down, but you got to be a fool to think that he's stepping down, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. He's stepping down in the official capacity, but of course, the strain known as Vladimir Putin thought is going to continue on for quite a while. I'm thinking that Trump, even in the case that he's removed, it doesn't stop him from running a political party, being engaged in a political party, nothing like that. So this could really be like a John Donald Trump thought situation.
Yes.
You know what
I
mean?
He can't physically get into the bag, but he can arrange the bag and he can hold it open for others to get into.
He can flap the bag open for those who wish to enter. Correct.
Waft that scent everywhere and attract some fucking... You know, some bad guys.
Yeah.
What do you think we should start a political party? Because it seems like just about anybody can do it.
All right. Timeline Earth. Mm-hmm. Political
I wish
party?
That there was a way to do that without going through that process. Just, you know, be like,
what
fuck
if we just
process.
What if
this
we just
a
do
political
it?
Party?
Well,
yeah. Why
exactly.
can't we just
why don't
say
we,
we've started?
We just did.
Party.
We just did.
Yeah, we just did. What are we calling?
Okay. Next order of business.
The Timeline Earthlings, the Friends Against Government.
The,
that's how we could bring it back, baby.
Oh yeah, high member party.
No,
I mean that has to be in the platform.
Yes, it's one of the planks.
$6 million is a large number.
It's always the first plank.
No, it's not any of the planks. You've been impeached, Aaron. You've been impeached.
I'll get in the bag.
You've been impeached.
Yeah, go on. Get in the damn bag.
Get in that bag. It's okay. So we have, all right, that's great. So we've set it out. We now have a, man, the Friends Against Government political party would be a pretty powerful force in a very small niche corner of the internet.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we were talking about that earlier about weaponizing, brigading, I believe Aaron was calling it. I feel like this would be a great organizational entity
I'm just saying, like, we don't need to do anything in an official capacity, it seems. Right. You know what I mean? There's no reason to.
Mm-mm. No.
This is great.
I mean, yeah, I know. And the same could be said in some way for Trump, right? He doesn't 100%. Really have to do a whole lot in any sort of official capacity. He just has to be he just has to remain a figurehead and hold a beachhead for this whatever this
just has
movement
to remain a grifter.
Of this movement of, you remember that, Bird? You remember that I texted you that tweet, the movement for mentally ill bodybuilders and FUD boomer cons or something. You remember that? It was on Bronze Age Pervert, I think, retweeted.
Yeah, yes.
Yep, An army of mentally ill bodybuilders and boomer cons or something. So good.
Oh, man. Dude, we could weaponize our community really hard if we start a political party. We might be able to siphon people out of the Libertarian Party that way.
Yeah.
We might actually be able to do it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. All right, good. Let's put that to bed for now. Let's hope.
Let's do that.
Can we do one thing?
Sure.
Predictions for, not predictions, what you hope to see out of the Patriot Party. I'll do mine first so you guys have time to think. What I would like to see out of the Patriot Party is some sick advertisements. Like, I'm talking Nugent does the music, and there's like some really like radical, like, do you like freedom? Are you a patriot? Do you hate minority? You know what I mean? Let's build that wall, baby. And they just start manually building the wall on their own.
With somebody drumming on top of an old wall section.
Build the wall.
It'll be like a collaboration between Ted Nugent and Little Pimp.
Little Pimp.
That's what I want.
Every time a brick is laid, an angel says, "Esquite it."
Oh, Lord. Well, that would be great.
What about Carr? You have any hopes, predictions for the Patriot Party? Should this thing really be?
Yeah. I want them to become a thorn in the side of the establishment and just continue the only thing that there was for people like us to like about Trump, and that was just that he was a pain in the ass to everybody that we hate. And so, I would love to see that. I mean, it's all the better if they don't really have any political power outside of just forcing issues, I guess, because then we don't have to feel guilty about liking anybody in politics.
Like, one thing I seriously do want to see if this happens is I want Steve Bannon to be like at the helm.
I would love it.
I would love that.
Yeah, we talked enough about him last time to where you know my opinion on him. He's a genius. That you want him on your team. You don't have to like him, but he knows exactly what's going down. He could really cause a lot of, dude, if you were a Democrat, you should be going, join the Patriot Party. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like really hamming it up and getting them to join, because this is easy money for you.
Yeah,
right. You could just have Democrat hegemony for the remainder of time, which is fantastic in my opinion.
No doubt, man.
Not that I give a shit. You know what I mean? It's great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Great stuff. I would also just like to add one addendum. At the very least, I want an album.
Okay.
At the very least, I would like to see an album, because we know Donald Trump has been in music videos before, probably even been in some songs before. I would think it would be great if at the very least the Patriot Party could produce an album. That would be great stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
I'm in it. Yeah, I'm into it.
You in that bag? Did I put you in the bag? The Patriot, the Patriot box.
Tuck me in.
All right, I'll tuck you in. Aaron, go grab another one. Why don't you? This is great. I can sit back in my comfortable chair. I can chuck peanuts at you. I can order you to go and grab stickies off of that board we got over there. Go ahead, go get it.
Speaking of stickies, Google or Alphabet, its parent company, is in a very sticky situation.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. This is great. Man, you can't work Audacity worth nothing, but you can really segue us.
I don't
this
know Linux, great. Maybe but you I can should do be fucking the producer. Segues all day.
Maybe you should be the producer from now on.
I'm
great.
All set with that. Thanks.
This is a pretty interesting story though, because this is going to test a little bit of background. Google, and not just Google, but a couple of these bigger tech companies, the global tech companies, have been experiencing rumblings from their lower employees about unionizing. I don't know exactly what each of these unions is attempting to do specifically. I mean, obviously there's the usual, fewer hours, higher pay, that nonsense. But I guess I think that there may be more to it. And it's going to pit these big tech companies, if they can't quash this early, in a pretty weird situation where, of course, they're going to have to maintain that public persona, that public progressive persona of, oh, yes, we love unions. Of course, they fucking hate unions, especially
they
unions
sure
that are challenging their power. And just seeing, and because the other underlying issue is that I'm sure, particularly for the global companies, where a lot of their base isn't necessarily living the San Francisco life. I bet that there's a lot of latent
eating shit under a bridge.
Getting hepatitis from walking on the sidewalk.
Right.
What a life.
But I think that there's probably a lot of latent, we'll call them conservative or maybe more freedom oriented values by a lot of the people that work at these companies. And they're probably, I would assume, at least some, because there's just a shitload of employees, are probably pretty fed up with having to walk or talk the talk when it comes to progressive points and dealing with HR issues and that sort of thing. So
this is Google, well, Alphabet you're talking about here. So let me again,
their union
thanks
is,
to
their union is Alpha Global. That's the union.
Alpha
name.
Global. So here's, let me give you some an article. Here's a name you're gonna like, Carr. An article written on CNN, Brian Fung writes an article. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So here we go. Hundreds of Google employees and at their parent company, Alphabet, are launching a union. As you said, the name of it, the Alphabet Workers Union, is what it's officially called. It's also called Alpha Global, in whatever way you want to call that. The initiative was launched by 200 members, according to a New York Times op-ed. On Monday morning, that was 2 days ago from the time of recording, they're seeking formal recognition, and they want the collective bargaining, all the typical stuff that a union could possibly want. Now, if I may use this to cycle us into the one that I find a little bit more interesting, the Amazon situation.
Yes.
So Jeff Bezos, who I think before our previous recording got borked. Yeah, there's a little fourth wall for you, listeners. Jeff Bezos, the monarch of Amazon, is against mail-in voting for an Amazon union election. let's give you a little quote from the Daily Caller here. The company's position on mail-in voting contradicts that of owner Jeff Bezos' other major company, the Washington Post. The Post's editorial board ran multiple articles assailing then-President Donald Trump's criticism of the mail-in voting process. One op-ed published on the 17th of August called his comments bogus, fear-mongering. So what's the issue here? Well, the company stated its reasons. What were they? Concerns, quote, about election security running particularly high due to an unreliable electronic signature platform. Carl, how do you feel about that?
Uh-oh.
Wow. Wow.
Weird.
Yeah.
Really pretty interesting. Yeah.
Weird.
How could
we heard
that be?
That recently. Yeah. That's crazy.
Really odd. Really interesting how all that stuff happens. So anyway, Amazon further claims that mail-in voting in union elections is fundamentally different from that in political elections, of course, because in political elections, the Amazon lawyers who actually wrote the statement wrote, a continuously updated voter address roll and the ability to turn in person or by mail promote security and voter turnout. That was their reasoning as to why it's different.
Huh.
Yeah, that sounds a little Sounds like some HR speak there, or you know, just sure trying to cover their tracks. Yeah, so
it sure does.
The whole thing. I'm not confident that these people, that anybody involved, is going to be able to actually accomplish anything. But I do think that it's going to be fun to watch. Just particularly anybody from our end of the spectrum, knowing the game that's afoot.
What I can see happening is they're going to try to marginalize anybody involved in labor agitation and hire scabs under the guise of diversity hires.
Interesting. That could possibly be an angle. I think they'd be caught very quickly.
I've got a proposition for us for the podcast, and maybe here's where our first round of brigading could begin. I'm not too far from where Amazon's moving. My understanding is that they're going to Austin, isn't that right? Or was that Tesla? Oh. Maybe that was Tesla. Either way, I'm sure that we can rally some linear earthlings to inflate a little rat at the Google headquarters.
Maybe what we could do even is we could have a person in a rat costume. Also, it's Amazon. That's moving to an Austin expansion is happening. Yeah. So maybe we could get somebody. We could buy a rat costume. And get a couple of people.
You know what just crossed my mind? Where would we buy it?
What's that?
Where would we buy it?
Yeah. See, that's accelerationism. You use the institutions available to destroy the institutions available. Perfect. Oh, I love it.
The gears were turning in my head. I was like, hey, where would we get a rat?
Check Amazon. Rat costume. Amazon. Oh, man, there's some good ones, too. I'll buy one right now. Fucking $60. You can get yourself a full-size rat costume. Wow.
Do they have a blow-up rat?
Incredible.
Tell me they have a blow-up rat.
Blow-up rat.
That's got to be an incredibly.
They sure do.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, we got to keep this search in the back pocket.
Here, I put it in the Zencaster chat. Check that one out when you get a chance. Global store inflatable costume, adult blow-up costume, large size rat mouse costume, zipper inflatable suit with air-filled fan for birthday party, Halloween, wedding party, cosplay.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, it's going to be a birthday
party. Listen, $30.99. If one of our intrepid listeners wants to purchase that before I do, please do. We'll figure out a place. You can send
a pallet
it to,
of bricks too.
We'll
probably
get it done. Wow. Yeah. How much would that?
Dude, that's what it's. If you scroll bricks down, it's like this is often bought with.
You could get a pallet of miniature bricks. You could get a pallet of miniature bricks for $20 on Amazon right now. Wowza! Nice. This is some good shit.
Those sound like they throw
this is
good.
Some good shit. They sure do. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Great.
Let's put a pin in that for now. Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's keep it in the back pocket for now.
Keep it in the
back. Before we go on to our final topic, Car, which I guess is everybody's favorite video game company, I wanted to read out, because I put this on the bulletin board, and I don't want to forget about it because it's still relevant. I caught this on the timeline. Somebody was adding you on the timeline. At Average Floridian, at AVG Floridian. This is one of the greatest tweets I think I've ever read. Catching up on at Timeline Earth Podcast, at TLE_car. If you need any tips or tricks for humanely dwindling the feral cat population in your neighborhood, just slide into my DMs. Hope your neighbors are willing to pitch in. One of the Average Floridian, if you're out there, it's one of the best tweets I've ever read. It's amazing. It's really alarming. And the best part about it is that it's coming from an Average Floridian.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's
what
a lot
exactly
to unpack.
Do you mean there.
I'm not going to unpack it, but there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, humanely dwindling the feral cat population is a lot of HR speak.
Yeah, yes.
I love it. He probably means like, you just put some cages out and you leave them in the woods or something.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Anyway, I just wanted that to be on the record, on the TLE record, that we have the best listeners of all time. And that is one of them.
Not,
really.
Not special.
Clearly, yes. You're not special. This is what we do.
Special.
We dwindle the feral cat population.
He doesn't claim to be special. He claims to be the average Floridian, which, for sure, that sounds like something the Average Floridian would say. And I love it. I really do. Great stuff. Carr, why don't you stick us on to the final topic there? Because you were doing some research after our recording got borked, and you say you have some interesting stuff for me.
Yes, I think for a number of reasons. I'm glad our recording got borked because it did give me a chance to dig in a little bit more on this. This is something that caught my eye. It was floating around the internet today and yesterday, and it is the GameStop stock scenario.
Oh, yes.
Which is one of the most beautiful stories I have ever seen on the internet. And when we're talking about brigading and weaponizing our retarded autism, this is exactly the sort of thing that I want to see happen. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, I guess there was some, well, I'll read the article. I found a good write-up on it on Reddit. And as far as this thing doesn't read like this guy's trying to mislead anybody. I mean, maybe he misses a detail here or there, but it looks like it's a pretty reasonable write-up of it. So here we go. So this is from the copy paste life on Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to go give him some gold, go give him some gold. Here's kind of the full story and backdrop. I wrote this like a week ago, so it's a little outdated. Take it back to March 2020. GameStop is a dying company. Everything GameStop did in the past can now be done online. Worse, COVID-19 is decimating physical retail. People expect GameStop to file for bankruptcy anytime. Share price, around $2.80. And actually, it recurs to me, I should give you some background. GameStop, unbeknownst to us, and this is me talking, not the article, skyrocketed 200% or something like that in a day, which just doesn't happen in the stock marketplace. So a couple of us, like me and Bird and Aaron, were texting like, what the hell happened here? And it was organized by the internet and internet culture. So I just wanted to give that little backdrop, and this is just all the detail. So enter Wall Street Bets, the autistic capital of the online investing world. Several users begin to go bullish on GME. That's GameStop's letters. They're laughed at and called retarded. Most notably, a user, you deep fucking value, who has been invested in GME for a very, very long time, reiterates his position in the stock while providing monthly updates. In January 2020, he is down thousands of dollars, around 40K. However, by the end of April 2020, he's finally green, up 41K, and he's just getting started. Share price end of month April is $5.75. While all this is happening, hedge funds investors have been shorting GameStop. I won't go into the exact mechanics of shorting a stock, but what's important to know is that unlike buying a stock and making money when it goes up, a short, you make money when the stock goes down. Short selling is important to the story. The funds who sell short are called short sellers. The biggest short seller is Melvin Capital, which is just a great, great name. Short sellers made a lot of money shorting GameStop from $45 to $2. If I remember correctly, things are quiet from April end to June. GameStop stock keeps seesawing between $3 and $6. It's near the end of August now. GameStop has made some good moves in regards to paying off their debt and taking better loans. They might have done other stuff too. I don't fucking remember. Console release hype for the new Xbox and PS are setting in. Out of the blue, Microsoft announces a fantastic partnership with GameStop. The next couple days, GME share price rockets from $5 to $10. On Wall Street Bets, the subreddit group, the crowd is turning bullish. They're further motivated by you deep fucking value, who in his end of September update posts his position and he is a fucking millionaire. Throughout the summer, deep fucking value, I'm just going to call him deep value, has continued to add to the GameStop position. From being 40K in the red, deep value is now 989K in the green. He has taken his initial investment of 140K and turned it into 1.4 million. He isn't even fucking done yet. all this while, short sellers like Melvin Capital are getting antsy. You see, short selling is far more dangerous than simply buying a stock. When you buy a stock at $1 and it goes to 10, you have made $9. If it goes to zero, you have lost $1. But you can only lose at most your initial investment. On the other hand, if you short a stock at $1 expecting it to go to $0 and it goes to $10, you have lost $9, nine times your initial size. Now imagine selling or shorting $10 million worth of GameStop at $5. If it goes to $10, these short sellers owe money to their brokers. They owe $10 million. In order to exit the short, short sellers have to buy back the shares from the open market. Buying raises the price of a stock. That's simply supply and demand. The problem is that these short sellers have gotten so fucking greedy that they've started to sell short stock that doesn't exist. This is called naked short selling. For GameStop, more than 100% of the stock is being sold short. Wall Street Bets autists theorize that the resulting buying pressure from short sellers exiting their positions will cause the share price to skyrocket. This phenomenon has a name, short squeeze. It happened to Volkswagen in 2008, Tesla in February 2020, and the retards on Wall Street Bets are hoping it's going to happen to GameStop too. Wall Street Bets has a brilliant idea. Buy shares of GME to reduce the shares available for short sellers to buy back. This buying should drive the price of GME higher, forcing the short squeeze to happen sooner. It's a positive feedback loop that's putting short sellers on suicide watch. The name of the game, the GameStop Infinity Squeeze, which is, I guess, what they're calling it on the subreddit.
That's awesome.
So from dude, this whole thing is awesome. So from September to November, Wall Street Bets continued to buy shares of GameStop. And also, I'm just going to pause. Can you imagine this is like the Bitcoin community hyping itself up. Can you imagine what this subreddit looks like during this? I bet it's just people going.
I've heard it's like one of the funniest places on the internet.
Oh, I'm sure. So some attempts at tabulating ownership show that Wall Street Bets owns around 4% of the company, which is just totally ridiculous. For a $1 billion company, that's nearly $40 million in shares held by the basement dwellers of Wall Street Bets. Share price mid-month November, $15 flat. There's a knock at the door. It's a stunningly gorgeous man. He says his name is Ryan Cohen. Mr. Cohen doesn't like the way GME is being run by its executives. He thinks that GameStop should transition from physical retail to e-commerce. He thinks he can run GameStop better than the shrooms already on the board of directors, and he probably can. Ryan Cohen is smart. He founded and ran Chewy, a company that sells pet products online. He essentially went toe-to-toe with Amazon and survived, netting himself a cool $3.35 billion when he sold it to PetSmart in 2017. Like Wall Street Bets, Mr. Cohen has been slowly buying shares in GameStop, but it's not to trigger the infinity squeeze. At 10% ownership, Cohen can put people on the board of directors and change GameStop in a way he sees fit. Cohen begins tweeting about GameStop. In late November, Mr. Cohen announces that he has 9.99% stake in GameStop, slightly below the controlling amount, and issues a letter demanding that GameStop begin a transition to e-commerce. The letter falls on deaf ears. On December 21st, Ryan Cohen discloses that he has a 12.9% stake in GameStop. He's going to get his people onto the board and change the way GameStop is run. At this point, the hype on Wall Street Bets is unparalleled. GameStop is one of the most mentioned companies on the sub. People who have been following this saga are ecstatic about Mr. Cohen's board takeover.
Dude, it's 2021.
I know.
It's so crazy happening in 2021.
His leadership should set the stock higher. Retards hope it forces the infinity squeeze, which is just like an amazing sentence. So user Deep Fucking Value has achieved legendary status for having balls of steel and holding GameStop through thick and thin. His December end of month, end of year update puts the GameStop position at $3.2 million. He is up $1.9 million. Oh, Melvin Capital and other short sellers are in danger of, instead of covering, they are in danger. Instead of covering, they continue to sell GameStop short, so they just keep doing the same thing that they were doing. The supply for shares available to short is rapidly dwindling. Some brokers have less than a thousand shares available to sell short. As the price of GameStop continues its steady trend up, short sellers hemorrhage more and more money. December end of month share price, $19.26. That all brings us to this week. On Monday, Ryan Cohen announces his board members. It's him and two other people who worked with him at Chewy. The stock shoots up 10%. It's quiet on Tuesday. Then suddenly today, the stock shoots up from its $20 open to $38.87 at its highest today, up more than 80%. The retards on Wall Street Bets rejoice. Months of nervously waiting for this moment have paid off. But thousands and thousands of people wake up with tens of thousands more dollars than they went to sleep with. Short sellers like Melvin Capital continue to buy back stock, realizing millions of dollars in losses, sending the stock up even further. Wall Street Bets celebrates, laughing at the snooty analysts and news figureheads that said such a recovery with GameStop wasn't possible. Jim Cramer, CNBC anchor and beloved autist, says that Wall Street Bets is in control and even joins in bashing short sellers on Twitter. User Deep Fucking Value posts his GME update, $5.8 million, $2.7 of which he made today alone. He is crowned the king of the retards. The share price at today's close, $31.40, up 57.39% today alone. Nobody knows what is going to happen now. Maybe short sellers will continue to exit their positions and drive the stock higher. This might become the new normal for the next several days, with daily 20 to 40% increases as short sellers continue to buy back. Maybe this was a one-off day and the stock tanks 50% tomorrow with morning following today's celebration. Nobody knows. The market is a fickle mistress. But I'm pretty sure, I think this was written a few days ago, I'm pretty sure I saw it in like the 120, 130 range. Like, I think it jumped.
Did they have by the way, they have this is now on the Our Wall Street Bets Wikipedia page. This event is now listed on there as an event that happened.
Dude.
This is amazing.
Dude, this
actually, the moderators actually had to issue a post stating that there was no organized effort to promote, advertise, or recommend any stocks. They had to actually do that.
So there is a screenshot that is circulating. So I had one of my college roommates, an IRL friend, text me, and he was like, dude, were you a part of this? Because I was. So I guess he was in on it. But I started looking around, and I found there's a saying, the markets can remain irrational longer than you can stay solvent. And that's just an old trading phrase, like being like, you know what should happen, but it may take a while to happen. Like, for instance, if you were to short the dollar in 2000, yeah, you know, in any given year, and being like, well, it's fiat, it's not gonna, well, you know, it's more complicated than that.
As someone who doesn't know too much about the stock market, is what is going on at Wall Street Bets the same thing that actually goes on Wall Street, where people just exchange information with one another?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep,
same idea. So this is like, have we reached an age where the internet is creating alternative Wall Streets that can compete with Wall Street? That's fucking amazing.
This is the feel good story of the market. I mean, and this is kind of microcosm, macro. This is kind of like Bitcoin in general. Like the whole thing is just amazing. Doubt. Anyway, I found this one quote, and it's in a Reddit thread, deep in a Reddit thread, and somebody screen capped it and just said, "We can remain retarded for longer than they can stay solvent." Dude, it's the fucking best.
Oh, the internet is gonna save us, dude. The internet is gonna save us.
It's just so great, man. So
God,
great.
I love people. I love the ordinary person, man. So
I know,
much.
Man. And just like that's such internet culture, like crowning themselves the like retards and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, it's so internet culture. So good, it's beautiful. It's so wonderful. Good. Wow, that really is an amazing feel good story. Are you? Is that the story? Is that where we're at now?
That's where we're at. That post was from 17 hours ago. So let me.
You mean 24 plus 17 hours?
Yeah,
ago.
Exactly. let me hold on. Let me. I'm just gonna search GameStop.
Oh yeah, GameStop borked our recording from Wednesday.
GameStop is at $147.98. It was up $71 today, 92%.
So now what is this? But this is obviously gonna crash very quickly. Obviously, right? So hold on now. So. Because again, speaking of retards, I am certainly one of them in a literal sense, where I've got no idea what's going on. How do you believe that this ends for GameStop? It just crashes back down to normal, or is the guy who wanted to change GameStop's platform actually probably going to get what he wants?
I think that he'll probably get what he wants. Like, I mean, but it'll come back down. It'll come back down.
No doubt. But I'm saying because there was a whole point about the mention of the guy trying to stack the board so that he could force it to turn e-commerce.
Yes. So this event,
the internet forced GameStop to change, more or less, is what maybe happening.
No. There's not enough information to say, but I think Ryan Cohen probably saw this business opportunity and was either unaware or didn't care about, or didn't think that the internet retards were that powerful. I think he was operating on his own volition because he's an experienced businessman. And he probably saw a dying franchise that he could pick up for pennies on the dollar and convert over to something that was profitable. But simultaneously,
now he just has to wait.
Well, no, he doesn't have to do it. He's already, dude, he just already made a shitload of money, but. Yeah, he's already in.
He's already,
so now
he has a controlling stake in the company, meaning like his shares. So, like, he got more richer too.
Oh, he did. He got a lot richer. My guess is for someone like him, it's probably not all that much money compared to what he already has. And he's probably looking at it more as a project, and he's going to, like, the stock is just going to be what the stock is, and he'll just implement his new changes. My guess is it comes back down to roughly where it's valued, plus the premium of him being on the board and replacing with the board members. And then if he's successful, it'll rise from there. Maybe it'll come back down to like $20.
So as it appears, January 12th is before any sense that the company started growing. On January 12th, the stock was trading at just under $20, $19.95. It has since seen a $128 increase, which is a 641% gain.
Which doesn't
sitting
happen.
Right now at
it doesn't
$147.
Happen in Wall Street. This sort of thing doesn't happen. This happens.
Dude, this
like
is the internet doing this, because you're right. Bitcoin is like this.
I read last last night it was a $1.1 billion loss for those hedge funds.
Yes, for Wall Street. Yeah. It was a $1.1 billion transfer of wealth from Wall Street to retards. And that's amazing.
Amazing. That's beautiful. That is awesome. That's a beautiful victory story for I don't want to call him the little guy, but like, Wall Street is a cabal of weirdos.
Listen, I bet deep fucking value, he was probably already pretty wealthy, but if he's hanging on hanging out in those Reddit channels, he's probably pretty cool. And he brought a lot of people. He for sure brought up a lot of people along for the ride. I mean, a lot of people probably just got in on the internet meme and made a lot of money just because it happened. They forced the short squeeze of a fucking lifetime.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Amazing, dude.
What a beautiful thing.
It is.
Buy GameStop, everybody. No, don't take
not
the
house. No, they cleared out all of the shorts, so there's room for it to fall. I'm sure. Like I said.
Like, if you owned a bunch of GameStop stock, Carr, what are you doing right now? At this moment,
I would be getting out of it.
Yeah, of course, right? So that means everybody else is about to be getting out of it too, right?
Probably. Yeah.
So this was just a small, like, shake-up kind of thing. Yep. Like, what I'm wondering is, what are the long-term implications here beyond the shaking up of all the short sellers, you know, and having them lose a bunch of money?
It's the precedent that it sets.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like...
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Fucking insane. Nothing like that has ever been done before.
No. You have. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Internet.
Not on Wall Street. Yeah.
Affecting the economy.
So is this the thing that you can take most away from this is a subreddit can potentially become the new Wall Street.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. Literal, like, basically insider trading, except that they were never considered to be the inside. Nobody ever considered the fact, least of all me, considered the fact that a subreddit out on ClearNet could be the inside, and yet it was. And I had no idea this was going on. By the way, before we talk any more about this, if anybody who is listening has any insights on stuff like this or any weird internet stuff that's going on before it blows up, I would love to like cover it. And so email us because
I'm money into it, of course.
I'm sure, even regardless of the money, I'm sure that some of our listeners were vaguely aware of this like over the previous few months. I would have to imagine because, you know, who listens to this, right? Retards.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. The kind of people who would run something like this.
Yes, exactly.
Incredible stuff.
And I mean that in the most flattering way possible, but like absolutely internet retards like us.
Yeah.
So.
God, this is amazing. That's just an amazing. I'm glad that we got our recording got borked because I didn't know that part. This is incredible.
Yeah. No, amazing. And I didn't know the full extent. I found that I was like giggling like a schoolgirl on the couch this morning drinking my coffee when I found that. I was like, dude, this is holy fucking shit. Amazing.
Well, listen, so. we've at this point gone way over time, Carr, even though I'm sure nobody's complaining. So why don't we do a brief clap? Congratulations to that subreddit for really just doing something that I wish I could do on a daily basis.
And congrats to Deep Fucking Value. Whoever that guy is, he is a hyper value. Chad.
Oh, yeah. Love. You're welcome on the show anytime, buddy.
Dude.
Get him on. If you can, get him on. Anybody who knows that guy, anybody who can get in contact with him, ask him if he wants to come on the show.
We plugged our Patreon yet? Speaking of people with a lot of money.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Also that. Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Carr, why don't you... Nice segue there, Aaron.
Yeah, that was great.
He's doing a really good job. We got to up this guy's pay maybe later on.
Maybe after we get Deep Fucking Value on.
Just give me some more crack. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about
crack,
it.
Crack wages have been reduced until morale improves.
All right, I'll just take yours like I've been doing.
Right. Plugs, guys. So... Like we said, we've got a Patreon coming out. The Patreon actually is live, but we need to before it got borked. I was demanding that you guys both commit to putting an episode up before February 1st, but it seemed like a little bit lukewarm. So maybe I won't make
talk about February, mid February, the latest. How about that? I'll do you maybe the first week of February would be all right.
Well, I'm going skiing this 6th through the 13th.
Oh,
so
he's going skiing.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus.
So. website is pretty much live. I'm still working on the merchandise store. Thank you everybody for reaching out and for all the kind words and just commentary on the show from people that have emailed me at my email address that I bothered to set up. To reiterate, I've been in a knife fight with a Pakistani man to try to get all of this set up, and none of my co-hosts have bothered to set up their email. At any rate, thank you for the emails. I had one email that I read.
Well, while you do that, go look for that. While you do that, anybody who's not in the know, it's timelineearth.org. We're a very important organization, so go check that out on that page. Yep. It is still, it looks mostly done. Yeah, it looks mostly done.
This is 85% there. Yeah.
85% done, I would say. Yeah. We're working on it. Okay. What else we got? Oh, hey, one more thing before you find that notice. One thing we definitely, because our recording got borked, we didn't talk about is I am fucking hyped for Paz's episode to come out. Are you?
Dude, yes.
Very excited. Yes. So Scarlet Thread Society comes out on Friday. That'll be 2 days after this releases. Definitely going to want to check that one out because I know the subject matter of it and it is going to be very interesting. Something that's I don't know the subject matter yet. Nobody around us is covering.
Okay, so great. Yeah, I'm excited. I want no spoilers. I don't want to know. I just want to go into it completely fresh on Friday and just give it the full listen. So I'm very excited about that. I found this email. I got an email and I wanted to say it's like really phenomenal. The number of like really accomplished people and particularly doctors that we have listening to this. And I don't mean Jill Biden doctors. I mean like actual medical doctors.
Yeah, that blows my mind that we
which
have doctors.
Which is wild. Oh, like, I think at any given time we have like 10 doctors that that are listening to the show, which is
what are you guys doing? Just completely
wild. I know what they're not doing. That's so they're not prescribing me OxyContin.
Right. Which we
not making
how
TikToks
useful are they really?
Well, maybe that's a little bit of motivation. Get your email set up, Aaron. At timelineearth.org. All the doctors you can send. You know, you can get your scripts that way. So I got this
OxyContin and nudes.
Yes.
Send them on over.
Christ. Over. So I got this email. Hey, Carr. There's some other stuff in there, but he says I study blood and immunology at a quote unquote prestigious institution for a living, which is of course. Fake and gay, but I wanted to know if you'd want a summary of the extent of the fakeness and gayness of the new COVID vaccine and why there's no fucking way I'm getting one, as it may make for interesting informative content on TLE. I just thought it was really, really funny. Oh, I can send you a short write-up if you're interested. Spoiler: the vaccine is a modified form of HIV.
So it's literal AIDS.
Yeah,
it's AIDS.
Looks like it. Wow. He did send me the write up. I know this episode has gone long, so I will try to remember to revisit that.
I'll put that on the board right now. Yep, I'll put it on the board right now. Very nice.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh, have you guys been on any podcast? I went on Biting the Bullet, so go check that episode out. That just dropped like 2 days ago.
I will be on Pete's show again very soon talking about Joseph Stalin, but that's not out yet, but it will be soon.
Aaron?
No, I got nothing coming up that I know of. I'm sure like I do and somebody's going to fucking send me that.
Nope, nothing.
I'll be like, bro, you're on tonight at 8.
Like that one time I told Rollo and Slappy I'd be on their show, but they texted me about it like late on, I don't remember, I guess it was a Saturday, I was hammered. This was like 2 years ago or maybe a year ago. And they're like I got a text from Rollo, like, you know, when they record at like 6 on a Monday and he's like, hey, are you joining? I was like, what? and I was like, you never reached out, or he sent me a link in Twitter, so I didn't have my text. Amazing. Open. And then he's like, you literally said you were going to be on the episode, and I went and go looked at my text, and it was like me being like, fuck yeah, I will, like !! at like midnight on Saturday.
Amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So,
golly. All right. Well, everybody, just so you know, don't schedule any podcasts when you're drunk.
Yeah. Well,
what else should people not be doing when they're drunk? Any idea, Carr?
I don't know. Do whatever you want when you're drunk. That's my motto.
Yeah.
I was gonna say maybe don't put your hands on the wheel
when you're drinking. Yeah, when you're drunk.
To the libertarian podcast.
Yeah, I didn't do whatever you want. I didn't even catch that part. But you should keep two hands on the wheel when you're drunk.
Well, no, you probably not. Probably should not be in the car. Whatever.
Nope.
Oh yeah.
Two hands on the wheel. Two hands on the wheel when you're drunk.
Squaw.
All right, everybody. Two hands on the wheel when you're drunk.
Squaw. We're gonna get fired.
Thank you.